Slow and Steady, the podcast where you get to follow along as we build products in public. Each week, we'll give you an honest peek into our lives as we share our struggles, our wins, and everything in between. I'm Benedicta, and I'm feeling eager.
And I'm Benedict. Today is March 19th. This is episode number 198, and I'm feeling okay. Like, okay. Not particularly good, and also not particularly bad, so...
But okay was not on the feelings wheel. Otherwise, I would have gone with okay.
I free yourself from the constraints of the feelings wheel.
You know what? No. Like, this feelings wheel is there to challenge me to actually name feelings. I realize, as I said, eager. I guess the correct feeling is impatient, which I do think is a feeling, because I... Like 2 weeks ago on this show, I was talking about, like, I'm feeling playful, I want to do so much, and I've been down with a migraine for the better of 2 days. So I'm like laying in bed with my eyes closed most of the time, just like, but I wanna do the things. but I'm trying to not make this so bad that I can't do my obligations for the week, because I have this podcast, and then in a couple of hours I'm doing a podcast on the Jamstack. What do they call it? It's like the future of Jamstack. It's a guy who's taken over the Jamstack domain from Netlify, and like trying to discuss like what does it mean now and for the future and stuff like that. And then tomorrow, live streaming Outset Up plus Framer, and then doing another podcast, and then on Friday live streaming again. So.
Sounds like a busy week. A lot of appointments.
Well, I'm trying to get the word out there that I am now available to help you live stream and get tons of social media posts from it with my new service, Go Live with Queen Ray. So I need to be out there and I guess sell, market. All the fun.
Any success with that yet? Any interest?
Well, we had some interest. People are scared, though, so I need to figure out a way to get them over the hurdle of not wanting to go live. Like, they want to, but then they I can see them being like...
And then they're like, they're thinking about it, and then, like, they're not used to it, and there's some anxiety. Okay, I get it.
There is some anxiety. So I'm thinking one thing we could do is have them... have like a trial run where they come on our show, because we used to when we were doing more Gatsby content, we had a lot of the engineers at Gatsby on our show, and they really let down their guard and like really flourished, I think, in that setting, where not let down the guards, like saying the wrong things, but like they forgot that they were on air and they would be, you know, talking about whatever they'd made and like help us use it. And it became like a very kind of lively and fun situation. And I don't think any of them like regretted that. Or I think a lot of them thought I was, I should reach out to them and get them to like give me blurbs to be like, I never went live, but I went live with Queen Ray and it was it was fun and not scary. And yeah, that's a good, so this is why I need to talk. Like my idea, I realized, which not surprise, my ideas come from talking. Surprise, surprise. But I realized that more and more lately. So I'm like, I need to talk through my ideas, not just write them down on paper. But that was a good idea. But then, so what I was thinking is maybe ask them on the show and have like a low-key version where it's not like for their audience, but it's just like they're coming on our show and then they can like get a feel for it and see if it's something for them. Like a little like dry idea, run, something like that. So... But I still think there's a lot of merit to that idea. And I've been doing a lot of research on where video is going and like what's happening to the style and what type of content people are watching now. And it's like, it is very right for the time. Because I feel like tech is like 3 to 6 months behind what is happening in like general influencer, like in the general influencer space. But then... I see people like often like think they're so original, and I'm like, well, these momfluencers did this like 6 months ago, but it's fine. Like that's how, but I don't think they always acknowledge that a lot of the things that work on developers work. in general, like influencer marketing works. And just because you're a developer, you're not immune to marketing, even though you might think you are. And a lot of the same tactics and the same setups and stuff. And we are seeing a lot more of the like raw vlog style, less stylistic, less prepped, less planned, like less glossy content happening in that space. And it's coming into the tech space again. So I think we're at the like the right time, at the right time, right with the right thing at the right time. Mm-hmm. But I need to sell more. So
don't we all?
Don't we all? So another idea I had was that after doing, because we did 2 weeks of live streaming every weekday, where we built a podcast website in Astro, pulling in the data from Transistor. Lots of fun. And I felt like 1 week was like superb. Second week, kind of tired. And it like felt a little, got it to be a little much. So from that, we were also thinking that maybe that's a way to sell it, where instead saying like you have to show up once every other week, we could say show up 3 times in 1 week. Or if you really want to go for it, like 5 times in 1 week, we'll just do it every time, like the same time every day for a week, because then you kind of get over, I would assume like the first one will be a little awkward, the second one, you know, again, and then by the end of the week, the person will have like gotten used to it and we can get some like really good clips and some really good content. Like maybe it's better to just, then it's like a project for them and they're done, but then we can create, you know, like 6 to 8 weeks of content from that for them. And then they could choose to do it again instead of having to like, you know, if they have some anxiety, thinking about having to have that anxiety for 2 weeks every time, like waiting for the next one. But if we just like power through 3 or 5 in a row, then they can be like done with that, like check, marketing check for the next quarter. Right. So I'm playing around with like some ideas there, like how we can package it and make it happen. But yeah, but sales, you're also doing sales. You're saying, shouldn't we all?
Yeah, like we're still doing sales, and it feels like the sales processes that we are trying to establish are starting to work. At least things are moving forward, and we send out a couple of quotes, or like, mostly Jane, to be honest, is sending out a couple of quotes to largest, biggerish potential leads. So that's exciting. So now it's like fingers crossed that they actually sign up, or like. And we closed the deal, I guess.
So these are custom priced enterprise deals?
Yes, these are custom priced enterprise deals. And it took us quite some time to like figure out how to approach this and how to marry this with our existing pricing structure and like billing system and stuff like that. But I think we figured out a good way, at least for now. And now it's a question of, do people take us up on that and does it work? And so exciting times. We closed a couple of like the smallerish deals. It turned out like they in particular like then went just like we started a sales process, but they signed up themselves, put their credit card in, and we're just charging their credit card. But I mean, still, like they become paying customers, so that's good. So there's some progress there, and as I said, like on the larger accounts, yeah, progress, and hopefully something good comes out of it. But even if not, even if this like doesn't end in a sale, the amount of stuff we learn in terms of like what should the process look like, how do you write quotes, how does our pricing work, like all of that is still valuable and good to know. And so even if they say no, I think we're better off than we were at the beginning of the year. So that's exciting.
So what's the biggest learning so far with these enterprise customers compared to your larger self-serve customers?
Not sure if I have a learning about them in particular. I feel like what's a little bit different is, there's one thing. So with our usual, or so far with new customers that book demos and stuff like that, what worked relatively well, or like usually worked, was like helping them along the way, like educating them, what is it, what you actually need, how do you approach this and stuff like that. And with those bigger customers, I mean, it's obvious in hindsight, but like they don't really need any of that. They have a very clear idea of what they want, and have their needs basically figured out ahead of time, especially if they are migrating from something else. So that approach didn't really resonate with them. So we're trying to adjust a little bit on that.
So are you thinking in terms of like education in technology wise, or more in education, like what kind of emails should you send?
And yeah, like, like more like the content and overall strategy type of thing that seems to resonate more with like the smallish and medium sized companies. And I guess, yeah, I mean, if you're big enough, at some point you hire dedicated people for that who have that stuff figured out.
They have to write the emails. They know what campaigns they want to make. They just need to get it done.
Exactly. They just need the tools, or like need the thing to do. It's sure, but they don't need someone to tell them what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. But like with the smaller accounts or smallish accounts, that approach seems to resonate quite well, because we're still seeing a lot of people who get like super hung up on this process and like figuring out, and then at some point even like making it too complicated and like trying to make it perfect the first time and stuff like that. And so what we started doing is like Jane's offering road mapping calls with them, and basically talks through strategy and their ideas, and helps them to encourage to start like with something, start small, get something out there, then improve upon that, rather than having like the huge perfect setup right from the get-go, because obviously, as with everything, you get overwhelmed and then don't finish anything. So yeah, but that's one of the differences we noticed. And then obviously in terms of like process in general, what we really improved this time is we're just way better, or like making sure we're booking follow-up calls all the time. Previously we'd be like, yeah, bye, and then follow up via email and get them to book something else. And now we're like, yeah, let's maybe just like put something on the calendar where we talk about like, you see, like it's the stuff you do, right? And it's kind of awkward in the moment, but.
But then you get used to it and you don't think about it anymore, and it works. And you just, I feel at least as a non-English speaker, some of these things for me is just like learning the lines, because it's not something you've ever said, or because you haven't grown up or been in an American corporate environment. And not that everyone is American, but like our language of business is usually English, and just like knowing to say things like, let's put something on the calendar, instead of being like, can I please have another meeting? saying it in some like awkward way. There are like, they were like, you know, you have those words like, let's circle back. You know, you got to learn some of these terms, because then it's easier to say them and people kind of expect it, and you don't, you know, it's familiar for everyone involved, and it just makes the whole process easier. So I did this mistake. I sent out a quote and I didn't put a date. Like, I always put a date on it. I'll be like, this is valid for 7 days or 14 days. And then I also say, if I don't hear back, I'll contact you. And then I'll put a date on when I will contact you. So if I say it's like 14 days, and then I usually say, if I don't hear back from you in a week, you know, I'll follow up or something like that. Because then you lay down the expectation that you will follow up. And also that this quote is not valid forever. Like, life changes, like things might happen, like the availability might not be there. And I forgot to do this time. And now I'm like, when should I email them? Well, you know, soon, because I don't have my process, and I should probably just follow up a week after, like I would have written in the email. But I do feel like, oh no, like I forgot to put that in there. That kind of like gives you that opportunity, or like, you know, that next milestone or check-in or whatever. And you need those to like keep these sales happening. And for us, it's often like a lot, it's very important and we think about it, but for them, it might be like, often they come in and they're like, oh, we need to do this quickly. But then, you know, quickly is like what, a year. So you need to kind of like drive these things forward, at least with larger clients. And even like yes. I've noticed with smaller kind of founders that are all over the place, right? They know they want to do this, whatever it is, content or this live stream or whatever. They want to do it, but also they don't have the time. So you shoot off an email, they might have seen it, but then they didn't reply and then they forget about it because there's a million other things happening. So you have to like be persistent, but in a polite and non-spammy, annoying way. Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah, yeah. So true. This is like one thing I got out of conversation with Monica from AffiliateMate. You suggested that I talk to her and I eventually ended up doing that.
Yeah.
One thing that I found fascinating with their processes that they basically artificially create those points where it's okay to nag them, right? Where it's mm-hmm. okay to put some pressure on them, like mm-hmm. give them stuff to do, but like, and then annoy the hell out of them. I mean, it sounds, they're not annoying their customers and their yeah. leads, but like, for example, with some of the leads, we started shared Slack channels because mm-hmm. that's, for one, it's like way more direct, right? It's like in mm-hmm. their company Slack and it's not in their email inbox. Mm-hmm. But it's also a nice place to just like do the follow-ups, right? And it mm-hmm. gets like, they get a nice notification bubble or whatever on their side. And have a set of to-dos in place and then follow up on those to-dos and like, mm-hmm. did you run into
yeah, like you
that?
Should do this and we should do that. You're looking into X, we'll look into Y, we'll check in again on Tuesday.
Exactly, yeah. And then like just create those points mm-hmm. of contact, I guess. Mm-hmm. And even if they are somewhat artificial by like, let's meet on this day to talk about mm-hmm. something that we already talked about, but this time goes with more into detail and stuff like that, yeah. So
no, but it can feel unnatural, you know, when you're not in that space, and often, at least for indies like you guys that haven't, I mean, I guess you haven't been on like the enterprise side buying stuff. Like whenever Rarely. We buy stuff, we just like go, we sign up, and like if we have to email someone or like call, we're like, I'm not buying this. If I have to talk to you, I'm not buying this. You know, you just want to go in there, you want to get it done, and you kind of bring with you that bias when you try to sell your own mm-hmm. thing, because that's yep. how you enjoy being sold to. But for others, and even it might not just be enterprise, but I read this book about like pseudoscience, but we all know this person. I've read it in two books, like The Four Tendencies, which is yeah, anyway, Four Tendencies, four different personality types, and then also a sales book where they had like four quadrants. And something that stood out to me in both is that you have this personality that has to have asked questions. So even, and we talked about this before, even if you have all the answers on your website, and even if they could have been a self-serve customer, they just have to ask questions and like double check, or I don't know what, like it was described in both these books, and that it's just like, it's not my, like I don't understand, but I have now learned to not be like annoyed and be like, it's on the website, you know, because
yeah,
that's not, they're trying, I think what they're trying or they need is that they want that connection with the person before they buy. So, and the way they do it is by asking questions. So you have to kind of put your own preferences aside. And then, cause I've seen this on Twitter with indie hackers being like, well, then it's, I mean, the price is on the page. Like, why are they emailing me? Or, you know, it's like, yeah, how big do I have yeah. to write it? And I'm like, it's not about that. It's about them wanting that connection before they buy. So.
Yeah. But it's also like, it's also tricky on the, like on the receiving side of that, or on the selling side of this, it's also hard to then spend a lot of time with them only to realize they're like, I don't know, $90 a month customer. Right. Yep. So yeah, you have to be super careful about that.
And that's how you have to look into it and be like, is this somebody worth spending that time and having those processes that you guys are implementing now, where it's like, well, no, this person will send them to a pre-recorded webinar that will answer the questions, but maybe not in the way they want. But yeah. being, but like reacting with that, like they are trying to waste my time or they're trying to be mean, which I feel like is kind of the energy sometimes when mm-hmm. people complain about it. It's like, no, they are actually not trying, and they did read the page. It's just like there, it's something in them where they need to like ask. Yeah, I guess I find it super interesting because that is not me. So I'm like, okay, I'm trying to understand like where they're coming from.
yes, for sure.
but yeah. No, but great. It's going to be interesting to see if you get some, because you probably see the efforts of this work in like 6 months to a year.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It's definitely a slow process. It's not that you start doing sales and suddenly magically everyone converts to a paid customer, but at least it feels like we're making progress. So that's the important part, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to change topic because we talked about it before stream. So you're not going to ask me again, but you were like, what's up with your background?
yes.
It is very clean for the people not watching. It is very clean and very organized, and things like a full cupboard or like a commode, we call it in Norwegian. I don't know if that is an English word, commode. Anyway, like a set of drawers is gone. And if you remember last time, I talked about this caravan that I wanted to buy. I wanted to refurbish something and like have a project. It got sold. Yeah. And I was very sad. And then I realized maybe I just need to transfer that energy to my big ass property that is in disarray.
Yeah, maybe.
Or like big for being inner city, by the way. Not big, but like big for being in the city. And I started by like cleaning up my office, and also I'm going to build this like miniature wall around my office in Ivar shelves from IKEA, which is one of the staples, because one of the things that I wanted is like I don't have a room, so I'm sitting in the corner of our living room, and I don't want to put up a full wall either, but then I realized I'll just make this like semi-wall, so it's like semi-private, so I can like sit there and just like see through the cracks, see the people through the cracks instead, but the lights will like filter in. Yeah, so I've transferred a lot of that energy into just fixing things around the house, and also went out and like cleaned up the courtyard a little bit, and realizing again that, you know, slow and steady wins the race, and maybe work on the project that you've already started. Greenfield project are great for a while, but then they're not greenfield projects anymore. And you're stuck with a caravan in your backyard. So.
Yeah. I mean, I know I got super excited about this last time, but it's probably, yeah.
Well, you want a greenfield project as well, you know?
Obviously,
through me,
yeah.
By proxy, you wanted to like live through my greenfield project.
Absolutely. But you're right. In the end, like, there's plenty of stuff to do, and it's probably a wiser investment to work on the stuff you already have going or like live in or whatever than starting a new thing.
And then I also have a trick up my sleeve. At one point when the regulations of this country change, I will have a little crowdfunding campaign, because I have an old Volkswagen bus from 1978 that is standing in a barn in Sweden with a hole in the petrol tank that I don't want to fix. And I want to convert it into an electric car. And Volkswagen in Germany have actually pointed out 2 or 3 sets that you can use to convert your veteran cars into electric cars. But the Norwegian government, for some reason, is just sleeping on this. I don't know, for some reason, it's probably not that important to them. But there are no like set rules, regulations for how to get it approved. But they are saying that there will at some point be kind of like a list, like these are the things you need to have in place to get your converted veteran car approved. So as soon as those are in place, I want to get this done. And then we can have our project.
So
and I will put all of your logos on my bus.
What you're saying is you already had a bus.
Yes.
And you were thinking about buying another one. Yeah, that's kind
of stupid. I was thinking like this little I was thinking that this little caravan can be on the back of the bus, because the bus is tiny, and then you have a little like sleeping quarters, you know, together with the bus. The bus could be the office, and the I don't know.
I see.
I just wanted a new project. Let's be real. But okay. That got me thinking about my bus, because my bus is not in Norway, so I keep forgetting I have it.
Yeah.
I bought it when I was like 24, I think, 24 or 25. Like, I have so much fun with this bus and so many troubles. And then when I like started out on my own, I was like, okay, I don't have the money to keep fixing this car, when I was a well-paid consultant, I threw a little bit of money at it. And then it ended up not getting through the, it has to be approved every year, every other year, and it didn't get approved. And then I kind of put it on the barn, and then I had a kid, and it kind of just got stuck there.
Right.
But now I'm like, I'm going to electrify it. And then I can
that
go.
That sounds like a fun project as well, yeah.
Yeah, and then I can take Lillian and Ola, and we can like travel our through Europe and meet everyone. And I
Did
can
you
show
just say
you the
that
logo.
It's super small. Like, how is that going to work?
Well, I will have to buy the caravan and put it in the back. But maybe I'll buy a ready caravan at that point.
Yeah, but you buy a big bus and then put the small bus on a trailer and tow it around Europe, right?
That is also an option, obviously. That is also an option. Now, the bus is, I don't know, it's like it's the standard Volkswagen bus. There are people who've rebuilt them into fully functional camper vans. So I think it would be possible to do that. But also the electric batteries take a lot of space. So yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. But
there will be crowdfunding opportunities. And I will drive to conferences all over Europe in my electric car, veteran car.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan. We always need to have some fun plans to look forward to in the future.
Yep.
But first, I need to fix a roof and some windows and some other things in my house instead. Boring stuff.
Boring stuff, yeah. But boring stuff needs to be done as well.
Yes. I don't know what to say other than... But why, though? Why?
Why can't I don't have fun all the time?
Why do I have to be a grown-up? Why do I have to be a grown-up?
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, should we wrap this up? I think
we should.
Feels good like ending. Good ending, yeah. Well, it was fun talking to you. And
you too.
I'm looking forward to catch up again in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Oh, actually, you mentioned something about like vacation, Portugal and stuff like that.
Yes.
Is that happening?
I am headed to Portugal on Wednesday next week, and then I'll be there for 3 weeks. But I am bringing my... It's a vacation. I can't
take
off for 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then so, talk to you then, I guess.
We'll talk in 2
Portugal.
Weeks. And if you, dear listener, for some reason... It's in southern Portugal. I think it's called Faro. Yeah. Then let me know, because I'm going to be there for 3 weeks from Wednesday, 23rd of March.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool.
And I might even have a couch if you want to come. I have a couch that nobody's sleeping on.
Like a spare bed, basically.
I don't know if it is a bed, because this is not me. Like, this is not organized by me. It's organized by my father and his wife. I just said yes, of course. You don't say no to being able to go to Portugal. And my sister is going to be there. But I realized when talking to somebody, it was actually Monica, and saying like, hey, you could come and hang and we could work together. I know nothing like about the apartment, like really where it is. Like, what are the amenities and all of that thing? And then I realized...
So you're making promises, and then it turns out it doesn't really work.
So I've heard there's a couch, but I don't know how big it is, or like if it's a fold-out bed, like if it's a full, you know, bed sofa. I don't know. But if you bring a little like mattress, camping mattress, I'm sure we'll find space for you.
If you bring your own caravan, it's going to be fine.
But that's when I realized that not everybody would be like that. Like, I will just say yes, and then I will just show up there. You know, there's going to be a bed. Like, I don't need to know the exact like size of the apartment or the location or like see the photos or anything like that. But then I was like, oh, you know, if I'm going to ask people to come, like maybe I should know, you know, not everybody just show up on an airport and hope things will be fine, you know?
Yeah, that's not in everyone's personality, I guess.
That's not in everyone's personality, but I think it's going to be great. And the plan is to work. And Lillian is only going to be there. My daughter is going to be there for 2 weeks. Ula is going to be there for 1 week. And then I'll be there for 3 weeks. So that last week, at least, there's going to be lots of work going on.
Then I guess we'll catch up in 2 weeks.
We'll catch up in 2 weeks.
Nice. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Well,
okay. See you around the interwebs.
Bye.